As the energies or consciousnesses that traveled from Source continued on their journey towards what was to become the space-time continuum, upon arrival at the seventh dimensional step down or step up, again, another being, consciousness, volunteered to stop at that point and to stay there through all of time, to be like the lighthouse keeper, the gatekeeper of the seventh dimensional portal, the god of the seventh dimension. As these energies or consciousnesses that traveled from Source towards the space-time continuum arrived at the sixth dimensional portal, or switch point, again, another being, slightly less whole, for it had whittled away some of its sensitivity, awareness, memory capacity, and making the further journey towards the space-time continuum, volunteered to stop at the sixth dimensional portal for all time, to safe keep, like a lighthouse keeper, the opening to the cosmic birth canal of the sixth dimensional portal. This energy we might call, in mythological terms, the god of the sixth dimension. As the consciousnesses or energies or beings or entities traveled from Source towards the space-time continuum, arrived at the splice point, the transition valve of the fifth dimension, another being volunteered to stop there for all time and to safe keep its opening, to keep the memory of energy arriving into it and through it beyond alive, for the time when it was time for energy to invert, to implode, back through the cosmic birth canal, back into Source. This energy or entity or being might be called the god of the fifth dimension. This is one of my guides, whom I know as Antori Solaris. As energies continued down through this cosmic birth canal, being birthed, exploded out, into space-time continuum, upon arrival of the fourth dimensional portal, again a being, a whole being, though slightly less whole than Source, agreed, volunteered, to stay for most all of time as the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, or the god of the fourth dimension. When we look into the sky and orient ourselves, align ourselves to the star An, the center star in Orion's belt, we are in direct alignment with the fourth dimensional portal, the opening of the cosmic birth canal, the canal through which we fly back out to Source. The gatekeeper of the fourth dimensional portal, I came into memory in seclusion, is the energy that most religions refer to when they speak of God, a being named God. What I came to remember is that God has many meanings. God is all energy that is. God is Source. God is purity. God is light. God is the fourth dimensional gatekeeper. God is all things. God is all things in pure form of memory. God is distortion realigned with light. The veil that came in between the cosmic birth canal and the space-time continuum sliced directly beneath the fourth dimensional portal. The effect of this has been that all consciousness trapped inside the wheel of time has remembered most closely its connection with the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, hence its reference point with this energy as the being named God. What I remembered in seclusion is that most humans on the planet who orient themselves towards a God perceive or have been brought to perceive that that is the ceiling of Source, that God is all there is. What I remembered in seclusion is the reference to God as a singular being. When it is in accord or alignment with the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, is simply the closest most aspect of source that most human consciousness can connect with and perceive. It is simply the anchor, a very faint, relatively speaking, anchor of the cosmic memory. The ascension process, that which is now underway, is basically the relinquishing of the veil so that consciousness on the planet can reconnect undeterred, unbiased, unblocked with the energy of pure light of source. The process on a personal level is realignment of our entire being with higher purpose. The process on a practical level is of each of us letting go all energy, all activities, all thoughts, all emotional energy, which is in discord with our higher purpose. Basically, it is a process of turning inside out. It is a process of creating the world around us as a safe place for us to be naked essence. The simplest way I've been shown to present and or to remember what the ascension is and how it works is to imagine that all consciousnesses who volunteered to temporarily leave, release themselves from source, and to travel to make the journey into what would become the space-time continuum, traveled in what we might imagine as a dove. If you imagine that all of these consciousnesses making the journey, these consciousnesses being only some of the consciousnesses inherent in totality. Again, it's very difficult to describe this, for words are immediately limiting. If you imagine that all these consciousnesses making the journey connected themselves together, much like people parachuting from an airplane holding hands would create a formation, that these consciousnesses connected together into a formation, pooling their energies to become the vehicle by which they would travel, and this vehicle was in the shape of a dove, you might imagine yourself looking down on the dove in flight as if you're looking down on its back as it's in motion. The way I was brought to see it was with the head of the dove stretched out, so the farthest most tip of the dove was the tip of the beak, and its feet and toes and nails stretched out, so the farthest most tip of the dove was the tip of the toenails. And the wings in flight stretched out and back. If you imagine that this dove is all the consciousnesses that flew in to create the space-time continuum, and that the space-time continuum is the dove, there you have a model for the ascension. What happened basically was this. The consciousnesses that created and comprised the dove being their energetic vehicle in which they traveled through the cosmic birth canal, which they created as they flew. If you imagine that this dove traveled through the cosmic birth canal, through all the portals, shedding only those beings that anchored the portals as energetic gatekeepers, if you imagine the tip of the beak of the dove passing through the fourth dimensional portal and entering into, exploding out into what would become the space-time continuum, there you have another overlay, another image of the egg timer. Energies traveling from a vast field, the state of wholeness, through the cosmic birth canal, creating themselves as a vehicle, as a dove, in order to make the passage, and exploding back out on the other side of the canal into what would become the space-time continuum. As the dove flew through the fourth dimensional portal, it again became holographic, meaning that it could exist in more ways than one at the same time. It basically existed in two fashions. It existed as a whole dove, and it existed in layers, or in fragments. As the dove flew into what was becoming the space-time continuum, it flew in layers. It flew in waves. The first wave of energy to pass through the fourth dimensional portal was the beak of the dove. Although the Earth and all the planets had not yet been created, had not yet come into form, there was by this time an energetic template or blueprint which would draw energy into form to become the planets. The beak landed, shall we say, on the blueprint of the Earth near what is now known as London. The second wave of the dove flew in, and it landed near what is now known as New York. The third wave flew in and immediately spread out into four waves within a wave, and these landed near what is now known as Moscow, Milan, Johannesburg, and Los Angeles. The fourth wave of the dove flew in, and it too spread out into waves within a wave, and so on and so forth, until all the waves of the dove had flown in, until the whole dove had arrived, at which point the veil sealed across to shut the dove in. In a sense, the dove was entrapped, it was contained. This was not part of the original plan. The dove, once safely landed, anchoring what would become the Earth, was then exploded. This too was not of the original plan. The effect of the explosion was that all of the parts of the dove were scattered. If you imagine the dove as a multidimensional jigsaw puzzle, and waves or sections, parts of the dove, landing initially in various parts around what would become the planet Earth, still very much in harmony, still very much like an energetic blueprint, a template, holding the energy which would become the planet. When this energy was exploded unexpectedly, it meant that the waves were torn and the pieces scattered. It meant the pieces of the puzzle, which were in fact whole consciousnesses, were torn apart from the other consciousnesses with which they had made the journey in. It meant basically that all energy became confused, that the pieces of the puzzle became torn and sometimes maimed, separated from the pieces they had been next to. On a simple level, to equate this with the Earth history, you can imagine that when and where there have been pockets on the Earth of peace and love and union and satisfaction, there have been several pieces of the puzzle united together, consciously or otherwise. And in uniting, they have been able to access more of the flame, access more of the memory, access more of the truth, which is union, peace, and enlightenment. Where there has been, during history on the planet, war and destruction, poverty, famine, greed, hate, has been where there has been the greatest torment or tearing of the pieces of the puzzle, where even the pieces themselves have often been torn, pieces representing consciousness, memory, alignment to light. The whole process of ascension on a practical level is to tune in to our inner memory, to listen in, to become aligned again with Source, to follow our intuition, to follow our insight, to follow its energy, for it leads us back to the family of consciousnesses with whom we flew in at the beginning of time. Basically, the ascension process, or the pre-ascension process, as we might call it, for there are several very clear stages to the ascension process. The preparation, we might call it, is for people to wake up to their inner guidance, to trust that guidance and to follow it, that guidance leading them back to the other souls or consciousnesses with whom they must group in order to group with other groupings, in order that all groupings group to recomprise the Dove. It is absolutely critical that we do this in precisely the same way that the Dove was exploded. In other words, as the Dove flew in, it was like its own radar, its own sensor. It remembers the path in, reversed, this then becomes the same path out. Each of the pieces of the puzzle, each of the consciousnesses which comprised the Dove, contains in it a very specific part of the memory of the pathway into the space-time continuum. In order to chart the same pathway out, we must come back into precisely the same energetic configuration in which we flew in. Otherwise, the memory will be muddled. My memory must sit absolutely perfectly in alignment with the memories that sat beside me on the journey in. It's like designing a ship or designing a craft. Each of the pieces must come together in precisely the way they've been designed so that the craft or the ship can fly. If my memory were somewhere in the Dove other than where it flew from before, my energy would effect on the Dove to fly a different course. To know where to return to on a place in the Dove, on an energetic level, can be very simple. Two things. Follow your energy, discern that it is leading you back to Source. It will lead you en route to Source, back into your perfect positioning in your place on the Dove. Secondly, a visual. If you imagine yourself looking down on the back of the Dove as it is in flight, imagining the head stretched out with the beak stretched out, so the farthestmost tip of the Dove is the tip of the beak, and the legs and feet and toes and toenails stretched out, so the farthestmost tip of the Dove is the tip of the toenails, and the wings stretched out and back in flight, you can become aware of, if it is time for you to know, precisely where you are placed upon this Dove. This can plug you back into your energetic knowing of who else is near you. It is important to know that your placement on the Dove is not that simple. The first wave of the Dove was, in fact, the entire beak. The second wave of the Dove was the energetic anchors of the Dove, meaning like the posts across the entire Dove, with the exception of the beak, for the beak was the beak. The second wave was the anchors anchoring the blueprint, the template, the framework of the entire Dove. The third wave, the fourth wave, the fifth wave, all the waves that complete the energetic configuration of the Dove are filigree layers of the framework of the Dove. They add more energy to the Dove as each of them flew in. Your placement on the Dove corresponds to a layer as well as it corresponds to your placement on the Dove. Again, it's two things. It is important to understand also that in the realm of duality, there appears to exist positive energy and negative energy. This, at point of source, is an illusion. negative energy is simply positive energy turned back upon itself to fester and cancer and rot. At point of source, all that exists is what we might refer to as positive energy. Negative energy is a creation. Negative energy does not exist when energy is opened out. Negative energy only exists when energy of source is closed in upon itself, is contained, is locked in, is boxed in, is trapped. When energy is trapped, several things happen. One is, it vies for the energy within the system to keep itself alive. It eats of itself and it eats others also. This arises in conflict. Being trapped on an energetic level is more times than not simply illusion. It is important to understand that negative energy in and of itself does not exist. Negative energy is simply positive energy turned back upon itself to fester, cancer, and rot, to eat upon itself. Positive energy within that context is free to fly. It's free to express. It need not apologize. It is what it is, and it is whole. It is sublime. It is only when energy is coaxed, is coerced, is lured back into itself that it can become what we might term negative energy. This, again, requires discernment to be able to detect in our physical world when and where energy is being tricked back into itself to create a block, to create conflict. Conflict is not the natural state. In the natural state, the beyond, all energy exists. There is no shortage. There is no need for competition. On a practical level in the physical world, I was brought into memory when I was in seclusion. The primal act in which everyone is now involved is the act of choice. We have within this physical realm what some refer to as free will. Free will suggests we can choose this or that, one or the other, something or something else. When we listen in, when we are in alignment, we realize free will, so-called free will, is an illusion. For when we listen in and we're aligned, we know there is no choice. We are the choice. Alignment is the choice. The challenge at present for all humanity on the planet is to be clear in every moment about choosing wholeness, the path to light, or choosing the path to fragmentation. For some of us, we receive experiences in our life that pose the question to us, choose this or that. Sometimes they have very, very large and obvious consequences. In every moment in our lives, there are lesser visible moments of choice, what one might call choice points. We are constantly and continually offered the possibility of choosing back. Choosing to leave the path towards wholeness and choose to stay back in the realm of separation, the realm of divorce. What will happen in the ascension process is that all energy will in time choose the path of wholeness. Some energies may, due to less understanding, not perceive that this is to their value. If you imagine all energy in a scale, in a balance, that on the planet now, after millennia of energies being reincarnated within the wheel of time, acquiring what some refer to as karma, what others know simply as energetic weight, as drag, the balance, the scale, has been weighted heavily towards the energy of fragmentation, surrender in the sense of giving up, defeat, hopelessness, a sense of helplessness, sadness, sometimes grief, even remorse. As more and more people choose out of that balance, back into their alignment with memory, with light, they begin to leave that side of the scale, that side of the balance. They begin to create, as they cross it, a bridge. As they create that bridge, they are like a needle pulling thread. As they make that journey across, because they have been connected in relationship with many others, their departure from the wholeness in the fragmented side of the balanced scale will be noticed. As they make that journey, others, many, will watch them travel. When they make a home on the other side, when they come through their experience to understand what it means to live in wholeness, they will become a beacon of light. They will become example of what it's like to live in wholeness. Most humans on the planet require example for various circumstances, their wills being defeated by many, many lifetimes, many traumas, many persecutions, many betrayals of their trust, of their belief. Very few people on the planet relatively have got the fortitude and the strength at present inside themselves to take the risk, apparently so, to leave the masses and make the journey back into wholeness. This is fine, there is no problem. There needs simply be understanding that some are pioneers and others follow. It is imperative that those who find themselves called to be in a place of pioneering, to listen in and know that every step they take is the right one. To disattach themselves from needing others to follow them immediately, for them to feel that they belong. To have the courage and the faith to be alone for a small time, relatively speaking, while they participate, seemingly alone, in creating the bridge into the light side of the scale, of the whole balance. This is what is referred to as critical mass. It's not either or, it's not black or white. To any degree that people begin to shift out of the old world back into wholeness, they are adding energy to the scales tipping. It is not requisite for people to totally drop their past experience and leap over to the light side. It is simply imperative that those who are willing and those that are ready to begin to open themselves to the possibility of a new world. In earthly terms, many people may be referring to this now as the new world. In fact, what they are tuning into is the ascension. What I've been shown over the last few years is that as our worldview opens up, as it expands from the limited worldview that we may have been brought up with or that we've acquired through time, influenced by sources like education, various institutions, financial and otherwise, universities, hospitals, family, culture, competition, sport, and other things. as the seed, as the flame within us, cracks open that worldview and allows it to expand and widen and open up, becoming more and more inclusive of energies that had existed previously outside of each of our own worldviews. We begin to add our energy to the enlightenment, to the awakening of the masses. The difference between ascension and what has happened for some individuals in the past, now referred to as ascended masters, is that ascension, the preparation, the time that we are now engaged in, is the mass ascension. What I know for fact inside myself is that all energy is included within this. No energy will be left behind. For when energy came in the shape of the dove, in the formation of the energetic dove, that energy being the energy of which space and time was created and all within it, all that energy will implode back into source. It is very possible to comprehend what this will look like and what this will mean. For many people, this is beyond our current capacity for comprehension. What I have known in the past few years is this. As our worldviews are ready to expand, they expand to the degree that we are able to contain. For this reason, many people on the planet are aware of major changes in the happening. Many people perceive these as what might be called paradigm shift, a change in paradigm in the way we view the world. Some people are aware of an ascension involving a greening. What these people speak of is a lifting off of some people from the planet in ascension sense, while the planet is greened and healed, and then a return of these people back onto the planet. Some people are aware that an ascension will happen, but they're not going, that their role is to stay here on the earth. What I know is this is all part of the ascension vision that I've been given. This simply means that those beings are in the later waves. Those beings are in fact here to ensure all other beings are in the waves and they're in motion before they leave, so to speak. The concept of leaving can be very frightening. It need not be. As we begin to remember that all energy is of us and we are of it, and we begin to remember that all things have been created from this body, shall we say, of complete energy, we can begin to draw back into ourselves the experience of energy, of aspects, of beings, of things, of objects in relation to us as being one with us. I know for myself that ascension is not simply a change in a state of mind. I know for myself that ascension is a complete reversal back into source. While in seclusion, I was taken out several times to re-experience home. What I've been shown in the past few years is that it is imperative that the ascension process be complete, that all energy return to source, to heal the wounds of the experiment, so that with this new experience, having been in us and within us, we will be in a place to choose again whether or not we would like to recreate or create beyond certain aspects of the experiment. It is absolutely vital, which I understand, that all energy be attended to, be supported, which will happen, for all energy to make the journey all the way back into light.